There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Oh. Honestly, if all my shit's canceled for the next 2 weeks, I'm just fucking... I am cheaping it down.
Yeah?
I got a bunch of hash the other day.
No, well, wow, color me surprised.
But I remember when hash used to be like illicit. I remember at Florida State, we had one buddy that had a buddy that was in Afghanistan, right? And that brave
What was he doing in Afghanistan?
Freedom,
he was a soldier, right?
I think he was, honestly, he might have been a hot dog salesman. But what he did for our boys, he was a hot dog salesman for our boys, but what he used to do is send us hash flattened underneath a stamp on a postcard. And then we take it and like little fucking trembly hand fucking weed spy scientist.
Uh-huh.
You could see me holding an Eddie over a tea. We used to put up an old fashioned tea kettle. This is true. And you'd wave it over the tea kettle until you could slowly peel the stamp off to get the butt and a hash from the bottom.
So you're getting this mail to you like how Harvey Weinstein is going to have to get all of his Viagra mail to him for the next 23 years in prison?
Well, he just wants to be hard so he can look at it and remember. I want the hash just to have something, like just something for me. But now, so I just go, I know I go to the store. I went to the fucking store and bought hash, and then, but I got to tell you what, though, I forgot about that high because I definitely forgot I was walking upstairs.
Oh,
I did
dude.
One
that...
of those. I went to go let Wendy out, and I walked up the stairs, and then I was like, what was I doing? And I'm just standing on those stairs, and I had just made the decision to let Wendy out about like 5 seconds before.
Right,
and I completely lost all track of time or space.
Well, that's great. Then you can relate to Joe Biden. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben. And hanging out with Henry Zebrowski, going up the steps like he's a character from Nightmare on Elm Street as the steps turn to oatmeal as he struggles to go upstairs.
Nothing gives me more, I don't know, confidence in our country that Joe Biden soon is going to take the reins of this country. His capable hands and his weird old man mouth, and he's going to suck on a bunch of fingers, and I'm really, really excited to see what he can do.
Absolutely.
Speaking of things that should be canceled, we have no clue what's going to happen with our book tour currently.
No idea.
We have no idea. I'm getting a lot of questions, people asking us if we're going to postpone the dates because of COVID-19. I have no fucking clue yet.
Right.
We're waiting to hear from the cities, and they're going to tell us what to do. Obviously, none of us are happy about any of this horseshit.
Also, we are just as vulnerable as you are when it comes to getting new information. We're just waiting like gerbils at the teat of the government to give us the smallest amount of information.
Do you think gerbils suck on teats?
Oh, well, no, those little water bottle things that they have with a little ball on it, it's
water
kind
bottles.
Of teat-like. In the way that you, if you were a gerbil, you would have died because you weren't strong enough to suckle.
Yes.
And you actually have to have the ability to... And
no, 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 you do it with the tongue. You push the ball up with the tongue, and then you get the water in there. Now, it's not like sucking on a nipple, but then I was just thinking of a bunch of gerbils hanging from a big, busty woman's breast, and that's just a whole thing going on in my mind.
That is a whole thing.
As soon as we know, we will let you know. What's changing about all of this horseshit? Don't know. Continue to wash your hands. I don't know. That's the only thing I can say.
What were people doing before? Covering themselves in dookie and then washing it off with their own urine? What were people doing before everyone decided to universally wash their hands?
The human monkey is a dirty, filthy, naughty monkey.
And sometimes
he forgets, but I will, and I do suffer from some OCD shit, and it really is hard to like, did I just touch my fucking face? Did I just touch my face? But then I watched an expert recently talking about how essentially if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. It's
you're
in the air. It's like you can get it from someone within 6 feet of standing there. And so what I'm doing, I'm going to juice the economy because the economy is not doing very well right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to buy a PS4 and I am going to do my duty to my country.
Wow. So
I'm going to sit with my new pile of hash with a list of video games and I'm going to sit alone in my own grime and let my own ass get sick from whatever comes from my mouth.
Wow, a true patriot, Henry Zebrowski, willing to be lazy for you.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Corona, we will be talking about that more on Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. We'll go into some of the more goofy conspiracy theories and what this means to the markets, good time to invest. It is truly, if you have a couple of dollars, throw it into the market. This is actually a good time for that.
You just sound like such a big, drunk Jim Cramer.
That's just Jim Cramer. You think that man is sober?
He took a call from the president on air the other day, which is fucking
did
wild.
Did he really?
Oh, yes. Well, no fucking clue.
That's his favorite fan. But I had a wonderful time. I want to thank the people of Syracuse, Albany, and in Hartford. I was at the Funny Bone show in Hail Yourself, America. Thank you all so much for coming out. And Henry, everyone loves you. They all love Marcus. So I spread the love to you. One of the listeners, one of the great fans, I believe this was in Hartford, they gave me a D&D card, Henry, and yes. I signed one of theirs. It was for a magic missile card.
You're saying a D&D card, or like my mother describing a movie she doesn't know. Is it a magic card?
It's a magic card, yes.
Oh, Jesus
and
Christ.
So Henry, but this is a very powerful card. So anytime you say something, oh, Ben, you're a goon, as you're talking about pudding or something, and I interrupt. By the way, thanks to everyone who's given to our Patreon, The Pudding Podcast is up now.
It's up there. And you hear me just burp into my own mouth.
I listened to it for about 14 seconds, and I was like, it's as if he's here with me now.
Episode 2 is coming out this weekend.
Wonderful. So this card has a range of 60 feet, much more powerful than Corona. It has a duration of instantaneous, and it is casting time as one reaction. It is the Hellish Rebuke. So Henry,
so you're going to cast. Do you know how to cast the magic card? Do you even
know
how to
do that? Yes, I do, because there is very simple instructions here. You point your finger at the creature that damaged you, Henry Zabrowski. And you are momentarily surrounded by hellish flames. You're burning in hellish flames. I sent you the hellish rebuke.
Then
yes, it's working.
It doesn't work. That's just my rash.
The creature must make a dexterity saving throw. It takes 2d fire damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one.
Oh, it is a D&D card. You might be correct. Do you read the label of it? You have the roll, then that is a D&D card. Does it say Dungeons and Dragons at the back of the card?
It says Warlock on the bottom left-hand corner.
No, it doesn't.
On the back is a guy named Mickey Blur who wants me to plug his music, but I don't know if it's any good, but he was very nice, so check out Mickey Blur.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes. I'm going to keep this with me every single day, and on tour, Henry, you might just find yourself getting a hellish rebuke.
Hey, man, I'll take a hellish rebuke, but I will do that dexterity roll, and I have been doing yoga, so I might get some bumps from that.
All right.
So I actually, a couple corrections and a couple answered questions from last week before we get into this week's story. This one comes from R. He says, I'm a cop from England. Please don't reveal my identity or do the bloody Hugh Grant voice if you read this, because I guess he's very mad about the last British reader I did. And so he's like, I'm a Cockney from London. So I guess you sound like that. So I'm sorry that I did that. Please don't beat the shit out of me when we're in the UK. So this is Ben's word. So we said, number one, we wanted to get the answer on, can you get HIV from just semen in a syringe jammed in your butts?
Okay.
And I got 100 emails saying, yes, of course, you're a moron. So thank you. I totally get it. But then we asked, what the hell is anti-disease medication? And so, in short, it's one of the most hellish 3 months a human being can endure outside of actual torture involving the Spanish donkey. I think I know what that is. We're all briefed on anti-disease medication when we join. It's a risk of our jobs, as we may suffer a needle strike or get bitten or spat at by some fucker with infectious disease. Needle strikes can happen when people hide used IV needles in their waistband, socks, bags, or up their arse. We've seen some razor blades and they like inside the foreskin. Don't ask.
Whoa.
Needles aren't illegal, and normally we'll tell them where to get free clean needles if they tell us where the needles are hidden so we don't get poked.
Henry, I might just have to take you back. I'm sorry, I think that I do have to ask, how do you get the razor blade into the foreskin? Wouldn't that just circumcise you?
I think you need to play like Lynx Ocarina or something. You have to do something like you have to charm the foreskin back. You might have to make him hard. You might have to play
then put the razor blade on the penis and make him soft and have it suck it in. All right.
So, she said, if we get poked after asking them they've committed an offense and where they're going to go to jail. So anti-disease medication is normally a 3-month course of combination of drugs, which will cause hair loss, insane vomiting and diarrhea. It's not uncommon to shit out blood and vomit the same. Your skin peels off and you'll get a sensation, which is freezing cold and constant sunburn. You'll be incredibly thirsty, but water will taste like acid. It's not always effective, but I've heard some doctors say they prefer to actually just live with the HIV instead because it is a manageable disease, which is, I imagine, very controversial.
Difficult, but you can do it now, yes.
But it's called PrEP. And there's also, there's a post version of it. It's like post-PrEP. So that is what, so that is very interesting. I learned about that. Another thing I want to say is a correction on orcs. Yes, I know. I know. I have mixed up orcs and the Uruk-hai last time where I said orcs came from eggs. I know that. I want to thank all the vigilant nerds out there that helped me understand that. Orcs are turned elves and can have a moral base. But I would say that about you as well. I still think that that is
you're pointing
you are
at me?
An orc. I'm pointing. Yes, I'm pointing.
Oh, are you really? Hellish rebuke. You're in flames. You're in flames.
Dexterity roll.
Oh, God damn it.
That's the problem. Give me an out.
I want pizza.
Gave me an out. But those are the two things I just wanted to say. Thank you guys for always for your emails and for correcting us, even when it makes me want to blow my brains out. Let's take a look at our first story.
But going back with the orcs, I did read a few, and they said, I'm just happy that you said they had a moral compass, because that was the only thing I was trying to say in Lord of the Rings. It was one side of the story. That was the war orc. The orcs, they were upset.
They are inherently, they are evil, and they were purposely built and bred for evil purposes, but somewhere deep inside, an orc can be touched until they feel feelings again.
Okay, good to know. Just want to remind people out there, you can also change.
You can also change. It's true. I believe change is available for everyone.
That's
right. I do believe that. Ask your local friendly defense attorney.
Absolutely.
All right, so this I want to talk about this case a little bit. This comes out of Tennessee.
Ooh.
So this is it is just shocking how close the facts are, like one by one by one, to Casey Anthony.
Right.
This is Megan Boswell. This is, so on Amber Alert was, this comes from Heavy.com. One of those like five fast facts, but it helps you understand a little breakdown of it. An Amber Alert was issued on February 18th, 2020 for Evelyn Mae Boswell, a 15-month-old child missing in Sullivan County, Tennessee. Although Evelyn was last seen on December 26, 2019, so almost 4 months ago, she was not reported missing until February 18th, exactly like Casey Anthony.
Yes.
Evelyn's mother, Megan Boswell, had full custody of her daughter at the time of her disappearance, but it's unclear why she did not report her missing. We know why. We now know why. On
But this is the question. Why would it be... Is there any other reason why someone would not report their child missing other than they murdered them? Because this seems to happen over and over again where it's just like, what if I don't say anything? Maybe it just goes away, but like it doesn't.
People keep asking about my baby, and I tell my baby none of their difference. I believe that unless you are a mad scientist trying to make your baby a better baby, a future baby... I don't know if it's a good reason, but it's the only real reason to keep a baby hidden for months, because you're adding cyber eyes to her. You're pulling out her tongue and putting like a rope in there that can like snap at flies like a robot little frog.
Yeah, like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle villain, or like maybe you send him to one of those ninja training facilities, like the one that Wayne opened up in the donut store in Wayne's World 2.
This is all much more fun, and this is all much more fun than what really happened, because they found Evelyn's body on the land of Megan Boswell's parents. Now, on March 6th, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation posted on Twitter that they had found remains believed to be Evelyn's. As of yesterday, it was confirmed they are, in fact, Evelyn Boswell's. Two individuals have already been arrested in North Carolina in connection with the case. That is her, it looks like... Her mother, Angela Mae Boswell, who is 42. Megan Boswell is 19 years old. William McLeod is 33. I guess her boyfriend.
Okay.
They were transferred, the mother's boyfriend. They were transferred back to Tennessee for questioning on February 25th. finally, Megan Boswell was also arrested. Now, what they're saying right now, there's not a lot of facts out there, but what they are saying is that the reason why they arrested her was this false reporting. Apparently, right. She got a $25,000 bail on her for lying to the police, essentially, or what they say is that she made an Amber Alert for no reason.
Right.
And there's several statements that they've made that they called inculpable. She's made several inculpable statements, which means she has been obviously lying.
And as Henry said, it's actually, I believe, her grandmother, Angela Boswell, and her boyfriend have been arrested. So I'm not sure.
That's your grandmother?
Evelyn's grandmother. I apologize. The baby's grandmother. Yes.
So the baby's grandmother. Yes, it is her mother. Okay. But now, so she's on bail. So now Evelyn May Boswell, she was missing for 2 months before her grandfather called the authorities. Evelyn Boswell was declared missing on February 18th, 2020. In the Tennessee database of missing children, Evelyn's name appears with a note. Evelyn was entered as a missing child, but was reportedly last seen in December 26, 2019. Mm. So the parents are the ones that called it in.
Okay.
That is where they found the body, was on her parents' property.
According to the judge, they reset the case to be tried on March 24th after Angela Boswell said that her daughter was having trouble finding an attorney because, quote, the stigma around the case. And, you know, there might be a small stigma around a mother who kills her daughter or son. But at the same time, if she can't find a defense attorney, then our entire system is broken.
The entire system is broken. But she's supposed to be able, she will get one eventually.
Yes.
But it's heartbreaking. Little girl is dead.
So sad.
She is doing kind of what is now, I hate to say classic signs of somebody covering something up.
Right.
Where she is like laughing in prison. She's laughing at her hearing. She's like bumbling around. She's very strange, but she's also very young. They said what was weird about her is that she had 3 different Facebook accounts. I guess that's what they said it was weird about her, besides just killing her child. But the father of the child is a U.S. Army soldier on active duty.
Okay.
But she had full custody of the kid during this time period.
Is he deployed or is he around? Do we know?
He is deployed. He's on active duty.
Oh, my God.
He is stationed in Louisiana.
Enough to be overseas, and then you read
No, he's in Louisiana.
He is in Louisiana.
Here.
Okay.
But he's dealing with it. He's trying to. He was all out trying to find the kid during February, but now that they found the remains, it's, you know, who knows. But the coroner's report on the daughter's body is now being, I forget what the term, it's being held.
Okay.
So that we don't know what those details are yet. But she had 3 different accounts. She had one named Maggie Wood, and this one has the same cover photo of Evelyn that TBI was using for the Amber Alert. The picture was uploaded on November 3rd, 2019, which was Hunter Wood was Megan's ex-boyfriend, which may be why this profile has his last name, where she got super serious with the dude because she's a crazy person and she changed her Facebook account to reflect her boyfriend's last name.
No, that is so... By the way, if you're out there, you're on a couple of dates, you're hitting it off, you're at a TGI Fridays, everyone's having fun drinking $1 margs, please God, don't scare them away, whether you're a man or a woman. Just keep your last name until you are legally forced to change it. And even then, just hyphenate it. Or do whatever you want.
We do whatever you want, but just wait. Just give
what
a second.
This,
wait
till it's what about this, Henry? What about this? Why not combine the names? So it's, for you, it's Gene and Zabrowski. Jabrowski. That's a good last name. Maybe we get rid of the hyphen. We get rid of the replacing of the last names, because it's strange to end your family history, your family dynasty, just because you marry somebody. I'd say you got to merge the names together. You start a whole new thing.
Or make a whole new name altogether. Like,
yeah.
You know, Natalie and I could be Natalie and Henry and Bruglia. That'd be kind of nice. And then she's a double for Natalie and Bruglia. That's what I thought of it.
I don't know if Natalie would love having the last name of the singer that you jerked off to when you were 12 years old attached to her name.
Bring it all under one tent. So I'm just always horny. She had another Facebook group, called Maggie Boswell, which was her current one, I guess, one that she was also using. And then she had one for Megan, one under the name Megan Nicole Keys, K-U-I-S, which is from 2017. They don't know why.
Okay.
She posted about her daughter in September 2019 that she deleted the post afterwards, but she posted, "I'm not the best mom in the world, but I try so hard for this little beauty. I can't even explain the love I feel for her, and I know she loves me too. Lately, my life's been real sucky, but she'll come out, reach for me, and say, Mom, Mom, and my heart melts, and I'm reminded of her unconditional love. You can say whatever you want about me being a young mom, but I promise you my life is so much better with this angel. My life wasn't ruined when I had her. Oh, she gave me a purpose and a reason to wake up every day and to better myself. There's no love like the love from your child.
All right, so obviously everything is completely opposite of what it should be. You should have a child when you are ready to care for it, not it care for you.
I think
so. And you would want to help it along and become the person that it should be, to be the best person it possibly can be, to become a good member of society. Obviously, this girl was not ready for a child. And the most heartbreaking piece of information for me is that little Evelyn was found next to her clothing, diapers, and toys.
No, it's bad.
Which is just so sad to think about. I guess in her mind, she left the toys. And what do you think about this, Henry? Maybe she left the toys, the clothes, the diapers. That's all. That's like it then. She's like, I guess it's all gone. Clear out the room.
I did it.
Clear out the diapers. I mean, it's just so sad.
We've talked about it on last podcast more often than not, that sometimes, like, I think a lot of people think that if you're simple, you're nice. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a simple person, like, all you do is like, I sure like how clouds are ice cream. And, like, I know that does make sense. Like, you
cute.
See some simple
yeah,
people, and you're like, what an expression of God's love that is. But sometimes simples are very mean.
I don't know if the term simples is appropriate. That's number one.
I'm not even talking about clinically simple.
Right,
I'm talking about just a normal, just plain old stupid.
Right,
I think that you can be malignantly stupid.
Yes,
and
I agree.
You are the type of person where you could see it in that pattern where she put the body out with the toys and stuff and did like a gerbil burial, to use the same animal again, where she's like, well, now she could use her toes in heaven. And they're like, no, you're insane. You're a deadly maniac, actually.
Yes.
Like, this is not nice. This is not Egypt. This is not classical Egypt. You can't create a little tomb for the baby, and then it's cool. It's actually the opposite of cool, always.
Yeah, it's not like Cleopatra. I love Cleopatra. I loved her. The sister that no one spoke about of Cleopatra.
Cleopatra, yeah.
They call me Cleopatra.
She used to dance at. Her sister used to dance at dunes. Now coming to the stage.
Anyway, so yes, as Henry said, that the parallels between that and Casey Anthony are definitely there. We will see.
Especially
if
with
there
the parents
is
covering it up.
Miscarriage of justice when it comes to the final conclusion. But what was that?
Especially with the parents covering it up, it looks like. The parents are now somehow involved in this story, and all of this information will come out, but I just kind of wanted to start it because it'll be one of those we keep a running tab on. And also, Lori Vallow, they lowered her bail. In the Lori Vallow Chad Daybell case, they lowered the bail because technically, for child endangerment, the most bail that they can hold you under is 25 G's. And her bail, I believe, was $5 million. And they lowered it to $1 million to sort of give her defense attorneys say, like, okay, we'll lower it, but where the fuck are your kids? Because that's another group of missing kids that are just gone.
Yeah, and that's what happened here in this case as well. Megan Boswell, again, arrested in February. Her bond was increased to $150,000 from $25,000 Monday after prosecutors spoke of Boswell's ties to other states and charges of false statements. So it was 25G, now it's 150G. I have a feeling her family won't be able to spring her. It looks like as if she will be spending the time awaiting trial behind bars. All right, well, let's get to a story that's a little bit more upbeat. No death involved. As a matter of fact,
for the death of certain rights of our citizens in this country. And the death of some. I'll tell you what. Sometimes a man needs to have a couple of beers at dinner. And he needs to he drove himself there. So how the hell is he supposed to get home?
So Alex Jones, the once mildly lovable conspiracy theorist because he didn't help put a president in office. Back when Alex Jones was just a fringe character and we could look at him and we could laugh all about the juice boxes are making the kids gay. And it was like really funny, but then the president called in and was like, thank you so much for getting me elected. And then it's like, oh my God, the guy who says that chemtrails are making all of our kids dress very strange and get green hair is now has the ear of the president. But Alex Jones, the conspiracy theorist, was just charged with DWI near Austin.
Oh, yeah.
This story reads like a country music song. So he's at dinner with his wife. They're eating sushi, which I am surprised that Alex Jones would let the Japanese get that close to his heart. I feel like Alex Jones is someone who's like, I don't eat it raw. You better cook it. I know what they're doing. There's a lot. There's a lot of iron. There's a lot of there's nuclear waste in the sushi, in the tuna sashimi. He's at sushi eating with his wife. Somehow, and I don't know how they can even do this over a bottle of sake, which is a very calming liquor. Somehow they get into a fight.
What? I can't imagine fighting with Alex Jones.
I know.
Can you imagine what it's like? Alex Jones is your fucking husband and you just have to deal with him just trying to use a chopstick, being like, it's a goddamn conspiracy. You can't use a fork and a knife. Tell me I'm an elite.
So Alex Jones is in a fight with his wife. We have really no idea about what, but we can assume.
Him trying to get the chopsticks in his big fucking swollen booze mitts. Just like, come on. I can stab it. I'll fucking stab it. You tell me I'm making a scene. You tell me I'm making a scene, wife. Unnamed
Alex,
wife.
Alex, okay, yeah, we'll just get the check. We're just going to go. Alex is acting
Yeah,
up again.
And you know what? Yeah, I've just decided that I'm a diplomat of my own personal states of America. I'm immune
Alex,
to bills. Yeah, I am immune to food fees.
Alex,
that's
they're
what
looking
I'm
at us.
It's some kind of food tax.
Alex, isn't
I have
the restaurant
to pay
is looking at us.
In
Alex,
order for me to eat.
God damn it, Alex, could you just shut up for one fucking dinner? yeah, we'll just go. Thank you. So Alex Jones and his wife in a fight at a sushi joint, 8 p.m. at night. The fight got so serious, his wife hopped in the car. She drove home, which was 3 miles away. Alex Jones walked the 3 miles home.
That's great.
Cans, like he was some weird homeless child who was like some weird child who just ran away from home and was going to go make it big in San Francisco. He walked home 3 miles.
Okay, this is incredible. So I have this from Newsweek.
Got written up everywhere.
This got written up everywhere. Jones described drinking a bottle of sake at a sushi restaurant, then walking the 3 miles home in response to a dinner table argument with his wife. See how reasonable it sounds when Newsweek writes it?
Yeah, just a dinner table argument like all of us have with our wives.
Yeah, when you end up walking home for 3 miles.
Three miles.
That's a normal fight. When the argument continued at home, Jones left the house for another residence owned by the InfoWars founder. So he has two houses in town.
In Austin.
So he described himself as, he says, number one, the DWI limit is an incredibly low threshold. All right. Because he said that he blew over the 0.08, right? Because he said, what are you going to do? And he said that the radio show host failed both a walk and turn and a one leg stand, further describing his walk as swaying while noting his glassy and watery eyes. Now, he said that he was too tired, according to his live stream, that the reason why he was so wobbly on the walk and turn was because he was doing deadlifts all morning.
Oh,
and his legs were wobbly.
I mean, honestly, this mugshot.
He's jacked. Yeah,
it might be the best mugshot we've ever seen. I think he looks kind of healthier than he does when he's on television or InfoWars.
He really does. The court document describes Jones as cooperative, talkative, and carefree. And now what he said in a video statement, I didn't commit a crime. How do you go to a restaurant and drink a glass of wine? And I say, I did. He's called his mugshot incredibly cool. And then this is I love this statement. I'm not giving the globalist power. I'm not drinking a damn drop of alcohol again. I'm not accusing people of something, but man, dude, I don't even get a buzz in a Japanese restaurant eating sushi with my wife, so I'm suspicious. I'm empowered by freedom. I have to take depressants like alcohol to suppress how empowered I am because I'm into freedom. I'm a human being, man. I'm a pioneer. I'm a father. I like to fight. I like to eat enchiladas. I like to cruise around in a boat. I like to fly around in helicopters. I like to kick tyrants' asses politically, and that's where I stand. And they're probably going to have to drop that case.
Well, I don't know if they're going to drop it or not. I do love that he was going back to that. That's a classic Alex. I'm a man. I breathe. I'm a man. I eat.
I'm a man. I bleed blood.
So Alex Jones, he gets home after the 3 miles of ranting and raving. Evidently, that wasn't enough to cool him off. The fight continued, as Henry said. It did apparently get physical at some point. His wife called the police and said, "My husband is drunk. He just left in his car." The cop said, "What kind of car did he have?" She said, "A black Dodge Charger." No joke. The cop said, "I just passed him." So he just turned around, pulled him over right away. And of course, Alex Jones has the same car that Nicolas Cage had in the movie Drive Angry.
Like, it's a good car.
Of course he had a black Dodge Charger.
Do you remember when we got upsold to the black Charger when we were driving?
Okay, hold on a second, Mr. Upsold.
We got upsold. We did not get a free upgrade.
That's when we were going to Pittsburgh to do a show. We did not get upsold, Henry. You actively sought out
What he did was, you guys are up. It was opposite. He gave me a free, he was like, "You want a free upgrade?" And I was like, "Yeah." And it was just like, because we had a van, because, you know, technically it's a comfortable way to travel. But it wasn't until I saw the upgrade was this the Charger. And then I knew that it was just Marcus folded in the back. We had to drive like 2 hours. And he's like folded in the back. And, you know, Kissel's just sitting sideways in the front seat. But I'm fucking tooling around. That was a lot of fun.
Let's just say the Dodge Charger is a car for one that pretends like it's a car for, like, one and a super hot chick. But yeah, there is no hot chick. So you're just alone with a Subway sandwich in the passenger seat.
That's how it always is.
But, that story also, you are such a mark where that guy was like, "No one wants this Dodge Charger because it's totally impractical." And then you walk in and you're like,
"Yep,
I think I just found someone." Sir. Hey, Harry, manager Harry, I think we found someone dumpy and dumb enough to get in this Dodge Charger.
No, he saw that I fucking needed as much horsepower as I can handle.
Right,
he saw that I needed a fucking turning points that don't quit. I needed a 15 mile per gallon. That's what I needed. I mean, 50 mile per gallon, and that's what I have to have. That I have to stop for gas every 45 minutes, sure. No matter what I'm doing, because it's fun to see the scenery, to meet the people of the country.
Yes, of course. There is nothing more. It's hard to describe. Obviously, us three have been together more. We are common law married, in every state. And Marcus is very sweet, but calm, seething. In the back seat, as every bump we hit was very aggressive and hard.
Like his fucking head hit the fucking ceiling. Yeah,
I would just look back at him, and his eyes were just like
so
mad. He was just full of anger and rage. But
I'm like, "Listen, to these fucking puppies, room, room, room." He was not impressed.
Anyway, Alex Jones, to his credit, if his wife had not called and reported him drinking and driving, he would not have been pulled over. He was only going 45 and a 40. And he blew. He did end up blowing. He was not the most drunk of all the drinkers and drivers.
He just was legally too drunk to be driving. He got into a domestic dispute.
Yes.
Which was bad for him.
That's right. So Jones had a blood alcohol level of 0.076 and a level of 0.079. The legal blood alcohol limit in Texas is 0.08. So I actually think he is under, but I feel like the fact that he failed the field sobriety test is why they said, "All right, we're going to take him in." But to be fair, it
hammered.
Most likely will get dropped.
It will get dropped probably, yeah. But he's hammered. Because I think he was also, he said straight up that he is a lightweight, is what he said, which is the same thing he said after his Rogan appearance. Yes. He said that he's a lightweight, and that's I actually can kind of see it, because if you are just working out and not eating correctly, because he is jacked.
He is.
He's just drinking protein shakes and working out. Like, the booze can sometimes hit you much harder. I might give him a little bit on that, but... Unfortunately, he doesn't archive his streams anymore, so you can't even see his breakdown of it, which is like, he tried to get out in front of it and like joke around about it, like, you know, try to control the narrative, but no, he's not involved in any of the other narratives, so it is difficult for him to do that.
And of course, when it comes to Alex Jones, this is a lighthearted story, you know, the true damage that man has caused across the country, specifically to the parents of the children who died at Sandy Hook, and a lot of the conspiracy thought that he has fostered that that has now become mainstreamed.
No, it's sad. It's sad because it used to be a funny character. He used to be a funny character and used to be a funny side character to society, and he's no longer funny, which is sad. But this is funny.
And I think it is. And I think for him, other than the domestic dispute, we don't know any information on that. So don't hold us accountable on that. But I think in his mind, he never wanted this reality. He always wanted to be a fringe character.
Yes.
And for him, this is the worst possible scenario when people are listening to him and being like, but what if he's telling the truth?
He was entranced for a moment about having this close of connection as he does to Donald Trump. Like, he was entranced. I think he got seduced by the idea of power, but he doesn't understand that the president throws every single person around him in a direct sphere under the bus, no matter what. You always are thrown under the bus. And so he kind of, I think maybe he thought, at least, like, now I'll always be protected. Not going to, like, he kind of gave into it, and he didn't realize, no, you got to stay fringe no matter what. You always have to be diametrically opposed to the president, whatever the hell's going on, because that's what keeps you in a bubble protected by your other crazy people. That is what allows you to stay fringe and allows you to say whatever it is the fuck it is that you want. But now that you're connected to the leader of the land, now you're going to be held up to a higher standard that I don't know if you're ready to approach.
And as we've been learning, and I actually think right now as a country, I feel as if the power is no longer completely stopping people from having to deal with any consequences to their actions, specifically Harvey Weinstein. I think when he got 23 years, he was just like looking around for Hillary Clinton somewhere and just be like, but what? Like, what the hell? Like,
yeah, so someone will come. Someone will save me. And you're like, nah, bro, he is gone. He is going to die in jail very fast.
And interestingly enough, I credit the rise of Alex Jones to the internet and the downfall of these former gate holders, former elites to the internet as well. They're just on the equal playing field. And so there is something small D democratic about it.
I think it's highly interesting what we're doing. And now we're really seeing what's the difference between a social movement that is a group of people, like, just from their thoughts onto the internet. What is different to that? And then things that are actually like physical, like what's really happening outside of Twitter, what's outside of Instagram. And every once in a while, the two overlap. And when it comes to stuff like this, especially fringe political ideas, the internet will just as much put you on a pedestal, as fucking hang you from on top of that pedestal.
Absolutely, which is why we always take. I mentioned on the last episode, I just had one of those dumpy, froggy brain weeks last week, and that's why, again, it was so great to see everyone. These past 3 days have been so uplifting. You guys are just so wonderful. Thank you all. It's nice to see the listeners and hug you and touch you and say, I love you too.
How many listeners were you touching?
Hundreds.
That's bad for you. You're going to get sick.
I am fine. Everyone is going to be fine.
But how are you touching them?
Handshakes. Handshakes
and hugs. Do you do above the waist?
Handshakes?
I'm just saying, are you doing this?
How do you do one below?
Because I was joking about it with James Adomian last night about how it's kind of funny how, like, Joe Biden really only molests people from the shoulders up.
Ah, yes.
And I wonder if you can still do that, because you could still be really threatening by giving somebody a massage.
I don't particularly care to smell hair. I don't know why he has a fascination with it.
Hair is beautiful smelling.
Yes, it is. But that is, again, on the last episode I mentioned how people say I love you, and I always like, well, it's tough to receive. That's also a psychological thing that all of us have, Henry and I and Marcus, where we are. There's a reason we talk to outside people to try to get help for our mental issues.
Health. Yeah, yes. Of course. But we have to.
But I say that also because the internet will quickly turn on you. And you have to remember, too, if the internet is like, if you're one of those people who got, you did something stupid like Star Wars board, the first guy to ever go viral. They were just making fun of this poor kid who was just trying to have fun in the audiovisual room, be Star Wars guy, which now is just called cosplay, and it's totally normal. Don't take the hate seriously, and I know it's very difficult, but it will pass. And
don't take hate seriously, and also don't take love too seriously either, because people will say anything. But it is nice to know. I feel like an important lesson maybe of the 2020s will be true to yourself. Try to find your own truths and try to research every topic that you're interested in from all sides, but also for yourself, make sure that you are doing what makes you happy as much as humanly possible, and don't worry what other people have to say about what it is that you're making or what you're putting out there.
Absolutely. And of course, don't forget, as secular humanist as I am, and Henry's a Satanist, but you are your own God, and it is in your best interest to be better to people, because then your life will be better. But let's move on to a story that is not nearly as cute as the Alex Jones DUI. Henry brought this up to me before, and let's just say not all mother-daughter relationships are healthy in this world.
No, this one's a really challenging one. This comes from one of my favorite rags in the world, the Daily Mail. Daughter, 36, who cut off her 73-year-old mother's head with knife and scissors before storing it in a carrier bag, taking it out to kiss in front of a family friend.
What is this the
it's
end?
It's not funny, but it is funny.
It sounds like the end of Parasite. What is it happening? Does. Why did
Odessa,
this happen?
Odessa Tammy Carey, 36, is charged with bludgeoning her mother in Ashington. She then defiled her corpse, extracting the brain and slicing across on the belly. The deceased body was found in her bed, and her brain was in the bathroom. Expert findings suggested Odessa Carey Sr., 73, was beaten with a mallet while lying face down in the bed. So this is a lot. There's a lot to this.
Yes.
So she seems like a lovely woman who had no reason to be decapitated.
That's, you know what, Henry? I am just so happy that you took that stance.
It is very strange.
It was such a brave stance of you.
Standing up for our listeners. I know there's some of our decapitated listeners need to be defended.
And you know what? From now on, I'm not calling them headphones, because some of you don't have heads.
Some of you don't have heads.
They are audio installations.
Audio crowns? I think that's maybe that helps. For our unheaded listeners.
Yes.
Newcastle Crown Court heard today that the killer daughter carried the severed head around in a carrier bag. The 73-year-old's headless corpse was found on her bed, and her brain was in the bathroom. When this is a weird way of phrasing it, Mrs. Carey's head was found at a separate address in a cupboard under the sink at a house where Carey Jr. was found hiding in the loft.
Did it walk there like it's Krang? I don't think that is a very strange way of saying brought to a different place. Like, it was just found.
So. And her head had moved. Her head had hired movers, and it moved to a cupboard beneath the sink.
Ooh, hunks moving junks.
So Mr. Lumley, the one investigator, said, on her bed in her own home lay Odessa Carey Sr.'s body. Her head was missing and her abdomen, her tummy, had been cut open to expose the inside of her stomach. In the bath in the house, in a plastic container, there was blood and there were parts of brain tissue, which is, it sounds more fun in a British accent.
Yeah.
But I want to say, a lot of this is really very intense. The court heard the day before that her mother's body was found. Carey had taken the head to a friend's allotment, which I believe is an apartment or a house. She was sitting in his shed, her friend's shed. This time she was wiping up blood from her hands and her arms using one or more baby wipes. She had a bag with her, and in the bag, she carefully took a parcel of sorts, the contents wrapped in a pillowcase and a towel, from which she produced a human head. Odessa Carey, and this is all at her fucking friend's house. You just wanted to have a nice hangout, maybe a smoke session, maybe watch some of Love is Blind, whatever the newest recent show is.
90 Day Fiance. Well, if I'm her friend, I'm going to give her a hellish rebuke. You're in flames! You're in flames!
Very good. Odessa Carey, she spoke and kissed her mother's forehead before carefully rewrapping the head in a shroud. Mr. Lumley said expert findings suggest Mrs. Carey had been face down in her bed when she was attacked, and there was multiple impacts on the back of her head. But I guess she used knives and scissors to remove the entire head, which must have been very difficult.
Why is it that, let's go down the Bobbitt road. Let's just say you got a penis here, right? And you're going to chop it off. To hear the word, cut off a penis with a knife, you're like, okay, that sucks. But to hear the words, cut off a penis with a pair of scissors, it sends a different kind of chill down your spine, doesn't it?
I just feel like scissors are a faster way to do it. I feel like a knife is a faster way to do it, where scissors sound miserable.
Oh, God.
You know, because it's just cut and cut. With a knife, if you get good and short enough, you pull on the penis. But again, we're talking about a penis. Penis, you pull till it's taut, and you stab at it till it comes off. Where this is a woman's head, where she obviously is dead first. But the idea of slowly but surely dismembering the head sounds like it is a real hard afternoon.
Yeah, in the bath of the house, in a plastic container, there was blood and there were parts of brain tissue. There were also implements, a large pair of scissors, knives, and a mallet. The police went to the address, and obviously in a cupboard under the sink, they also found, the guidepost police found a human head wrapped in a pillowcase in a towel inside a carrier bag.
Jesus Christ. Well, hey, man. None of this is good, but apparently she's not doing very well, and they don't know whether or not she's going to be declared legally insane for her crimes.
So we have no reason, like the mom didn't, I mean, this woman is 36 years old, so it's like the mom can't really be like, you don't get PlayStation privileges anymore. Like, there must have been something, this seems like something happened when the girl was probably 6 years old, and it's been stewing for a very long time.
Stewing. Mother and daughter relationships, I've heard, can be fraught with mental, I want to say, landmines.
Yeah.
And this is just one of those.
And that's not with your personal experience.
I don't see my sister and my mother have nothing but a perfect relationship, and there's no issues in there. But the idea of them, her getting her brains blasted open, I mean, honestly, this just, I feel like, yeah, there might have been some resentment there.
I think you know what, man? We didn't even put our detective hats on, but I feel like we were just able to solve that as citizens.
I think we just did it as citizens. This is a story. If you want to worry about existential fucking fears, this thing came out of the Vice.com, their motherboard tech section, whatever this is, by Carly Minsky. This is just, I'm just going to say this out loud.
Yeah, just
this
say
is just, they're studying mysterious bubbles of nothing that eat space-time. So basically what they're they are just saying that there are many ways, according to physicists, and I want to say according to some of the more depressed physicists, there are many ways for the universe to just spontaneously end, right? We don't know the actual nature of reality, Kissel.
You're very confused.
Do not be alarmed.
No, I'm feeling...
Put the chair down.
Okay.
Put the chair down. Sit in it.
Okay.
You got a beer?
No. I have hand sanitizer.
That's enough alcohol. But... The universe is weirdly very fragile because we don't really know what it is. We know that deep into space, this mass vacuums, right? This thing where debris floats through.
Yeah.
They're saying that possibly there's this thing called space-time decay, but we don't really know what that means. It's very technical, obviously, but they're covering this thing called bubbles of nothing in space-time, which is these sort of hidden extra dimensions, which is these kind of things just pop up, which are the expanding bubble. It becomes an expanding bubble of literally nothing, where the universe appears to eat itself. It's a specific scenarios that someone wrote in this, a paper in Nuclear Physics B journal. He wrote, a hole spontaneously forms in space and rapidly expands to infinity, pushing to infinity anything it may meet. So it just sort of destroys the universe in an instant.
It's sort of like how Bloomberg has invested so much money in the market that, like, now it just works and works and works and works, so he can just have infinite money forever because that's just the way that it's going.
That's what they do. Yes.
Oh my God. So apparently this has been the first paper about this was written 38 years ago. And I guess this is something that has been happening for a while. And dare I say,
we don't
maybe
know.
The headline, bubbles of nothing that eat space-time, I don't know, maybe we could cover it on mainstream media just a second, because it sounds pretty scary.
Just to give a look at it, maybe somebody who can, like, sound intelligent can, like, look at it for a second. But they're saying that there's something about the concept. It would be interesting to work out under what conditions an observer essentially could ride on the bubble of nothing and see a universe that is similar to the one that we live in. That essentially you can kind of coast on this, and that maybe what these universal spontaneous deaths are, universes are just big giant bubbles in a sea of other multi-universes, and as one bubble pops, it like makes room for more. It is very technical, but it's just very interesting to just kind of sit and think about when you're super high and you wonder whether or not your whole life can end spontaneously, and then you can stop worrying about that awkward thing you said at the stand-up show the night before to a bunch of friends. You know what I mean?
It the helps only thing I can think about now is Spider-Ham real in another dimension?
Yes.
Because yeah, I want Spider-Ham to be real. Well, that is truly horrifying. If you want to look
have
that
you
up
thought
again,
about
go to Vice, read that article.
Yes, try to understand. If there are more people, if there are physicists out there that understand a little bit more that listen to the show, I will say our talk about the can you get HIV from just cum in a syringe really revealed how many doctors listen to our show, which is a lot of fun. But if you're a physicist and you listen to our show, you could help explain what the hell this is, and I can read this in a comprehensive email to people so it's not just a new existential threat in the back of my mind. It's like something I'm going to wrap my brain around. Then that would be, please email us at sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Would love to hear from all of you. Our listeners are just incredible and very smart, and I love
very smart
Space Time Decay. All right, well, just lastly before we get to Hero of the Week, there's a bunch of hungry apes. Evidently they formed rival gangs. This is in Thailand. There's a train that goes through the town. The monkeys on either side of the train never meet each other. Usually Thailand is full of tourists. These tourists feed the monkeys. Because of coronavirus, there are no tourists right now, so the monkeys are getting super hungry and super pissed. They've all met in the middle of the town square, and they are currently fighting each other over banana peels. And if you want to watch the video, you can watch it on Daily Mail. Go to Planet of the Apes. Hundreds of hungry monkeys swarm across Thai Street as rival gangs fight over food after tourists who normally feed them stay away because of coronavirus. And you can watch the little video there. And I know that they're rabid. I know they're super upset monkeys, but they're still cute.
It is so scary because it's just a bunch of monkeys just fighting each other in the street because one monkey has a banana. And they are all very cute, like, and even just a pack of a dozen of them. But hundreds of those little monkeys are very, very intense looking.
But they are something. So they are fighting it out. I'm going to say if you're in Thailand right now and you're just a resident, throw the monkeys some food. Although, you know, whenever you're a tourist, like when I was out in Edinburgh, I was like, I want to feed the birds. And they're like, don't you dare.
Don't you dare.
So anyway, that's just
that's what I was saying. They technically should stop feeding these monkeys. Because
you're
training them to be super aggressive.
That's true. I know. But seriously, Henry, you know how fun it is to feed a little animal once they're hungry.
I love it. It's so cute. Their little hands, they're like us. Yeah, they go and like you can us. Make like a little mini burger out of your burger.
Yeah.
And you can give it to them. You know, you give them a chunk and you watch them eat it. It's fun. It is cute to see what we could have been.
Because
that's what it is. Because monkeys are just like dumber people, man. That's fun to see them. You give them little jobs. Give them little badges and stuff. And have them arrest other monkeys. That'd be fun to do. Have them police their own kind.
I agree. Well, speaking of maybe perhaps dumber people, depending on your perspective, let's do Hero of the Week. All right, this week's Hero of the Week, a lot of older Americans. You know, I actually like older Americans who say, like Ivan Drago said, if he dies, he dies. They say, if I die, I die. There's a lot of cruises going on, and older people are saying, you know what? Screw coronavirus. I'm going on a cruise. And
oh,
I want to give a shout out to Alicia Prisbolosu. God, I'm from Wisconsin.
Great.
I'm actually going to get in trouble for this. It's very Polish. It's Przybylowicz.
Send it to me. Send it to me in an email. I'll tell you how to say it.
All right, here we go. Let's test. This is inside the show, a little game we're playing called Test Henry's Polish Abilities.
Okay. I'm going to say, okay. Prisbilowicz, honestly.
Alicia Prisbilowicz. All right, you passed the Polish exam for the day.
I think so.
That's amazing. So she says she's still greeting neighbors with a big smile and an outstretched hand. She says, I'm a handshaker. I think I will always be a handshaker and a hugger, the 64-year-old said. She says when it comes to worries about coronavirus, she says, it seems that it's been blown out of proportion not far away at a house in the same community. Judy Newman, 66, she says, I don't care. I like to shake hands. She says, we don't know how this is going to spread in this community. She said, we are all older here. This place is full of people who go on cruises all the time. They go on safaris, and I don't see them curtailing their activities as much as I would. So there you go. The hero of the week is just people who say, get out there and do it, and if you die, you know what? You die.
I will say at least those are three voters I don't want around out. So bye-bye if that's what you want to do. Well, but yeah, cruises are also, I mean, because I had to explain to my parents as well, like, because they were talking about it. They're like, I don't understand. Like, I was like, just stay home. You are the ones that it gets. It doesn't
your father,
get the younger ones.
Your father is so, like, Corona is just, like, looking for him. They might just be here for your dad, and it might go away after they find him.
He truly doesn't leave the house, so it doesn't matter. He's just smoking. Technically, all of his doctors will say stuff like, it's like his lungs have used the cigarette smoke as a protection against cancer cells. And it's like, we need to study him. They're going to study him like Ozzy Osbourne. I don't know how he still smokes three fucking packs a day, because he really does. And they say he only has light emphysema.
That is honestly my uncle was the same way. He died at 85 of brain cancer, nothing to do with smoking. His lungs were totally safe, and he smoked just like that. He was in Germany. They said it was because the air is really good in the country area of the country of Germany. They're like, well, the air is really clean here. So they also say that if you live in a city and you don't smoke, you're just as bad as someone who does smoke but lives in a...
Who says this?
No, this
is... Who says this? Are you getting news from the bus stop? Like, are you getting news from a cigarette stand?
Hey, you tell me the bus stop isn't a great place to listen to the news.
You find out the people's mind, the people's thoughts.
The people's thoughts. That's what this is all about. So anyway, hero of the week, and that's more of a statement. Don't be scared. Go out, live your life, and understand the consequences, but just be safe, take precautions, and trust that you will be okay.
Yeah, if you got some pregnants in there, though, I guess stay
be
away
careful,
from the pregnants.
Be careful.
Yeah. All right, here we go. We got this. We got some listener letters. So this comes from E. It was a lovely summer evening. Me and my mother and a couple of neighbors were driving back home from a birthday party of a friend. My father had preferred to stay home that day, for he was already an older gentleman at the time already. To clarify, I was like 13 years old when this happened. We reached our destination at the parking lot of the 3-story apartment building where we lived. The car was parked, all of us got out, but stayed around. We were just chatting by the car. The bedroom windows of our apartment were right above the parking lot. Out of habit, I looked up at our windows and I saw my father's face in my parents' bedroom window. He looked very pale and thin and off. But I smiled and waved at him, thinking it was just the distance or the angle or something made him look not normal. He stood perfectly still, staring down at us. This was unusual since he was the sweetest, liveliest person back then and would always greet us with joy when reuniting or, you know. I pointed him out to my mom, who waved at him as well, getting no response. We were just starting to feel kind of like weird about this. He just sat there completely still, staring at us. And suddenly, his face floated slowly to the bottom of the window and disappeared. What? The movement was weird. You know, like how in a UFO sighting videos, for example, the way the crafts move is like nothing you see in everyday life, and it makes you feel kind of uncomfortable? It was that. We said our goodbyes to the neighbor, and we ran up to our apartment as fast as we could. Feeling a nerve from the whole thing, we unlocked our door, and we were greeted by the sound of loud snoring. We went to check the bedroom, and there was my father, lying on his bed, fast asleep, now looking like himself and not strange and corpse-like. When I walked into the room, there was something I hadn't come to think of when I had been outside, and that was that the tall and very heavy bookshelf in front of the window that would have made it impossible for him to appear the way that he just had, because he would have had to held himself in absolute inhuman position for his face to appear where it did, and then looking closer at the shelf, the thin layer of dust on the top and the sides of it had not been disturbed. So we woke him up, and he said he had no idea what the hell we were talking about. That's very creepy.
Yeah, that's very creepy.
Something about that fucking creeps me out.
Well, what's interesting, I guess, is that they saw an apparition of a ghost of a man who is still alive.
I guess so.
I mean, maybe that is the other dimension. Maybe it was a small tear in the other dimension. And in the other dimension, he's looking out the window at a wonderful field full of gophers.
It is so, it's very creepy. It's like him just floating up there is really, really freaking creepy.
Yeah.
All right, here, got this one. This comes from... This is more of an explanation of something that came up on the show. I don't know why I felt the urge to explain love languages to you boys, but I promise it's not a ploy for dirty old clergy to get into altar boys' robes. It's one of those personality type tests that is supposed to break down how you feel and express love. As cheesy it is, I found it to be pretty accurate. It breaks down as such. Quality time. Example. The way to Henry's heart is to spend time with him preparing spaghetti. Eat and said spaghetti together and patiently sitting and keeping him company while he finishes his fourth serving of spaghetti.
What are you? Words are you Kurt Douglas in his final days? What is that? That's the love language is treating you like you're in hospice?
Hanging out with people. Tell Henry how wonderful his spaghetti eating abilities are and how the sauce really complements his complexion. Physical touch, holding his hand while feeding him spaghetti and occasionally gently wiping marinara out of his beard, right? Rubbing his back while he's curled up, recovering from tumultuous carb loading. That would also count. Or acts of service, spending the day preparing a spaghetti feast to present, or better yet, a bathtub full of Italian glory. Cleaning up the inevitable mess to follow is a part of the service. Or gift giving. Perhaps Henry would love a monogrammed, platinum-plated spaghetti spoon and a gift certificate for all-you-can-eat spaghetti for life.
That is nothing to do with love language.
That's what that is. That's what she explained. That's what love language is.
Treating you like you're Stephen Hawking, like an Italian Stephen Hawking. That's what that is.
Yes, that's what that was.
I thought it was very fun to explain it.
I thought it was fun.
Well, yes, you thought it was fun because in the fantasy of that email, you were living the dream that you're going to live once you finally get into that car accident.
I'm just hopefully getting rubbed by my beautiful wife eating spaghetti. That's all I really care about. So here we go. Here's another one. So a few years ago, I think it was the day Prince died.
Oh.
My sister and I were on the metro to downtown Minneapolis to mourn and party with the rest of the state. We hadn't seen each other for a long time, and I hadn't really had a whole lot of sister bonding time in the past. I'm the second oldest of nine, and it's hard to keep up with everyone. We got on the topic of aliens, which is not only one of my favorite subjects, but as it turns out, hers too. So she went on to tell me about this dream she had. We spent a large chunk of our lives in Ireland, and she moved to Brighton, England to study music. Well, there one night, she dreamt that she woke up in her room, and there were three figures standing there. She was shit scared and felt paralyzed. She was able to focus. She saw that there were three tall and what she described as a cross between humans and greys.
Hmm.
They then spoke to her, even though she couldn't see any mouths. They told her not to be scared. They said there were a lot of changes in the world coming, and that they had all been trying to communicate to as many humans as possible to not buy into any of the craziness and basically to just be good people. Essentially, what the basis of religion is meant to be, to not be dicks to each other.
Right.
She said we weren't able to get through to everyone because most people weren't able to open their minds enough. She said they also told her that whatever happens around the world, that she, her siblings, and parents would be fine. Just keep doing what they're doing. She said she wasn't scared anymore. And then they kind of faded away by the window. When she woke up, she thought, cool, and continued her life. Fast forward a couple years later to a couple months before she told me about this, in 2016. The elections are happening. Everyone's going crazy about Trump and Hillary. She's staying at her aunt's place, and she wakes up again in her dream. And again, there they are. She said she knew it was the same three aliens, and she wasn't scared. She said they came to say that the world was still going crazy and everything was going to be fucked. Because they couldn't get through to enough people.
Damn.
But she and the rest of her family were all doing fine. And you just gotta keep going with it. So try to get other people to not be dicks, and that the world was going to disappear around us if people don't stop fucking it up. But that her family, specifically her family, would be fine. She said they gave her the impression that they were just checking in with her, so she didn't think that they were just gone. And then they fizzled away and she woke up again and thought, cool. I asked if she thought she was drunk. She said she didn't know. And she's like, yeah, just thought it was very interesting. And she said, and then their 26th birthday together, they went and got crop circle tattoos. Which is how all of these stories should end.
I absolutely love that. The space bubbles are coming.
Space bubbles are coming.
I mean, now that Alex Jones is, you know, a little bit on the outs, I think it's time for us to take the mantle. Space bubbles are coming, folks.
Space bubbles are coming and they're making our planets gay. This is last two very quick. We got a nurse here, says works with mostly elderly patients, would not advise sucking old people's toes because old people's feet are so much worse than younger feet. Their skin gets really dry and flaky. If you aren't careful taking off their socks, you can get a puff of foot dust.
We do just become mummies. I don't even want to tell. The skin tears are another one. Let's just say glue isn't just used for fun projects in middle school.
Yes. And finally, this is for Kissel, for some reason, who asked for rhymes last week to be sent to the emails. So this comes from B. There once was a man from Stevens Point whose best friend always had a joint. He went to a bar, his height was bizarre, and his calling was to disappoint.
Oh, that was so cute. Thank you for the rhyme. And that's nice. That's called lowering expectations. That's
lowered
perfect.
Expectations.
Thank you all. I remember. I loved. Actually, it's funny. Matt TV, old school Matt TV, there are some sketches in there that do hold up. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening to Side Stories. Apologies, it's a little bit late this week, but thank you all so much for everyone that came out to Syracuse, Albany, and Hartford. I'm also going to be in Orlando this Sunday showing the documentary and doing a Q&A for about 50 minutes. And it's been really powerful, and people have cried, and we're all together, and it's very sweet. So thank you all so much for bearing with the short delay. And again, as we mentioned before, as far as we know right now, nothing has been canceled or rescheduled. So we will let you know as soon as we can.
As soon as we know, we will let you know. Because we want this to be handled as well as humanly possible. I have no fucking clue what the hell's going to happen over the next 2 weeks.
Absolutely. So if we get a tip from our agents, even before news breaks, we'll let you know ASAP. But most likely, we will learn right along with you.
Yes.
In a press release of some sort. And yes,
the book comes out soon. Please. Well, we're having a relaxed fit this week on Last Podcast on the Left, so tomorrow should be fun. I'm excited to have a little bit of a lie to take now that I've just been watching hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of JFK footage. Man, his head explodes. It never stops.
Really? It never
stops.
Also, Henry, I got a few people telling me that your Lee Harvey Oswald impression is one of their favorites. Of course, in Connecticut, we're near Massachusetts. There's a lot of Massachusetts heads out there, mass heads, and they think that your impression of Lee Harvey Oswald is dead on. So
JFK is the one from Boston.
Whatever. All right, everyone.
Love your life. Learn to love washing your hands. Really get in there. Spend some time there. You know what? Because you know what's fun is that you can wash your hands. I honestly want to say this. Maybe a way to do this and make it a little bit more fun. Do it nude, right? Take off all your clothes. You could wash your hands over and around your cock.
Why does that make it more fun? So you can also maybe shoot. So you want people to jerk off while washing their hands in theory to prevent them from getting coronavirus, but then you're also jacking off in a public bathroom.
Yes. No. Save it for home.
Okay.
Save the thorough washing for home.
Okay.
Love, live every day. Live every day like a space bubble is literally going to consume everything that you know and everything that you ever cherish. So know that if you're waiting to buy that PS4, you just go out and you get it.
That's
what I'm doing. That's my advice to myself.
Absolutely.
And laugh. Ha ha. Laugh like you're a man with several fucking quarters of fucking hash in his home. And all of my plans are going to be canceled for the next 2 weeks. So I literally just get to sit and smoke weed and do that.
Honestly, Henry, just for you, I want Governor Newsom to... Let's just... You know what? State of emergency is declared. Henry, you're quarantined. Two weeks, my friend.
Yay!
I've never seen someone be so happy about a pandemic in my life.
I get to stay home.
Stay home. Get the PS4. It's amazing. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Can't wait to see everyone here in the very near future. And never forget, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
That's it. And hug your mom if you have a mom. And don't don't do what that woman did.
That's actually very nice.
Yeah.
Hug your mother.
Hug your mother.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.